Hello to all my chaverim, Yeshiva Torah Moshe, and around the world. Continuing on, Ashir Mishnayis Masechas Yoma Paraches Mishnah Dalet, which in the Gemara is on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah starts, Atinokos Ein Ma'ananos Omeyim Kippurim. We don't really try to have the kids, very little kids, fasting on Yom Kippur. Rashi and the Rav say, you don't have to force them to stop from eating. Tiferes Yisrael says, they're potter from any inui, but wearing shoes is usher for them, and we also try not to wash them either, or shmir anything, b'chitz and sicha, as Magen Avraham says, in Tafresh, Tetzayin, Sif, Kut, and Aleph. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'is usher, Perek Beis, Halachi, and Aleph, writes that a katan who is 9 years old, we don't force him to fast on Yom Kippur. The Ran is medayik that according to Rashi, there's no chiyuv to stop them from eating. He says, "Ein chayuv on the menorah me'amach." You're not mechayuv to stop them from not eating. Okay, but the Rambam it sounds like you're not allowed to stop them from eating, which means that even though with other mitzvahs, if they want to do an earlier type of chinuch for a young child, you're allowed to, and you're allowed to be mechanechem to do other mitzvahs, whatever the halacha is, just like he's a gadol. But here, you're not supposed to be mechanechem with this fasting before the time that was allotted to by the Chacham. Because the lashon in the Ram was, ein ma'ananoso, you shouldn't do it. It means even if he wanted to fast, you shouldn't allow him to do it. But the Rashi and the Rav said, "In chayovim lemnoa mehem achal." You don't have to force him not to eat, but if he wanted to, you don't have to. He can do it without eating. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tafresh Taz Zayin of Katan Aleph says, "Umutu legadol achilo olashkoso." It's okay for a gadol to actually give him to eat and to drink. It's brought in the Madura's Dirshu Oath 2 that you see from the Mishnah Berurah that you can give him on Yom Kippur even what isn't necessary for him to survive. Okay, and it's not considered that you're actually providing him something, which the lashon in the Torah is used in the Talmudic sense. It's called safya, handing him. There's usually an iser to hand someone something that's usher to eat. But here, even if it's not something he needs specifically to live, there's no iser of safya. And also it's understood that way from the Shartzian a little further on Sukkot and Tess, that there's no chiv there's no din of chinuch on Kitanim, even, and there's no iser of safya of giving to him, hand it over by hand. Okay, and take a look in the Shilas Chuvas Maxleios Siman and Pei Gimel to Pei Hey. They prove from a lot of Rishonim and Achronim that way, and not like the way the Menachas Chinuch has, and it's a Shin Yud Gimel Sif Katan Yud and Yud Ches, that you're not allowed to hand the Katan to eat something which is not necessary for him to survive. Just like in another Yisurim that it says in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shemayim Gimel Sif Aleph that it's usher for a gadol to give an iser to a katan. Like saying in a regular day, you have something treif you're holding. There's a specific iser not to hand over something usher to a katan. In the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel in Yom Perek Dalet Halach Aleph and the Chidushim, he says that according to the Rambam, this iser of safya of handing, providing over something iser from the Torah is only as far as something which is usher by itself. Like if you have tray food, that's something which is usher by itself, and that you can't normally give to a katan on, you know, a non-Yom Kippur day. But the iser in Yom Kippur, the iser is not that the item you're giving him is usher, it's the day that's usher. So that iser of safya, providing something usher, is only a din d'rabbanan. And when it does help for this child to help him grow, there is no gezeirah rabbanan in such a case, and therefore it's okay to physically hand over food to a katan. And similarly, the Pri Chodesh writes that way in Siman Tafresh Yud Aleph, the end of Sif Katan Aleph. And based on this, the Gaon Reb Nachman this in Karelitz, in Chod Sheni Yom Kippurim Amad Kuf Nun Zayin, writes that you can give the Ketanim even things that are treats. You can give them sweets and things like that. So there's no problem of Safya providing of food of any type to a katan on Yom Kippur. But the Mishnah says, Amachan Chanosan, but we have this thing that we slowly try to train them so that they will be able to fast. The Rav says, Lashos, we do it a number of hours, that if you normally ate at the 4-hour mark in the day, we feed in the 5th hour, or the 6th hour, depending how old he is, whether a year or two away from when he'd have a chiyuv. The Rav is Geritz, the Mishnah said that Machan Chanosam Lafishana Lafishna Zayim, and the Rav is a Geritzel Kodim Lashana and Kodim Lashtayim, that 1 year before his maturity, if the young child is sick and he's weak and he can't handle it, or 2 years before his maturity, if he is well, that's when we try to start training them how to fast. And what is this maturity for a girl? It's 12 years and a day. She normally doesn't bring simanim until that point, and that's when she becomes a bas onshin. And the maturity for a boy is 13 years and 1 day, and before that he is not a bar onshin. The Meiri and the Golas Hagra learn that the 1 year before the maturity, you already have to train them to fast the whole day. And everyone knew that that din, and the Mishnah didn't actually have to mention that. Okay, so what it says in the Mishnah, the Fnei Shana, the Fnei Shana Tayim, a year or two before, that's before that 1 year before. So it means like 10 at age 10 for a boy, or age 9 for a girl, that's when you start training them to slowly to fast for just a couple hours. So you have the 1 year before, which is 12 for a boy, 11 for a girl, when they should be trained to fast the whole day. And 2 years before that is when you start training them for shows for just a limited amount of hours of the day. Okay, why do we do this? Mishnah says, "Bishvil shirigilim b'mitzvos." We want them to get used to the mitzvos. The Israel says, "Now that everyone goes to a yeshiva, goes to cheder, and they're not so healthy, they're weak from all their learning. You don't have to do it a year too early. It's enough to even start a boy right when he's 13 years old in 1 day, and a girl who's 12 and 1 day, and that's when they have to actually do the whole fasting. And even if they don't have a siman of Cyrus, they don't show physically signs of maturity, maybe the hairs fell off, but in any event, he says, less than 9 years old, even if a child wants to fast for a few hours, we tell them, no, we're not going to let you do that. Okay, now we're moving on to Parakhes Mishnah Hey, which in the Gemara is on Daf Pei Beis Min Aleph, and it says Ubra Shehi Richa, a pregnant woman smelled something delicious. The Tiferes Israel says, and she said, "I want to eat. I want to drink that. I'm a type for it. I smell it." Or she doesn't actually say it, but we look at her face and we can see her face starting to change. So Rashi and the Rav say it's the Uber that is smelling the smell of thing that was cooking, and the Uber is the thing that's pushing that she for wanting to eat. So, and if she won't eat, she gets into such a state that both her and the Uber will be in danger. And the Lush and the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Taf Reish Zayin Sukkot and Aleph is she and the child would be Masukkin. And he adds, there's no difference whether it's in the beginning of her pregnancy or towards the end of her pregnancy. The Rush in Yom Parakhes and Yom Gimel learns that there's no way you can have just the mother being in a sakana and the fetus not, or just the fetus and the mother not. Okay, and also it sounds that way in the Mishnah Berurah, Shnehem Mesukanim, they both together are Mesukan, in danger. The Shartzian over there in Os Beis brings that from the Lashon of the Rashi, it's mashmah that the Vlad is the culprit here, the one that has the Taiva, And this, he says, is only possible, you would think, after 40 days of the Yetzirah of the Vlad. And he writes, let's take a look in the Rabbeinu Manoach, and he says, Tzarech Iyin, the Rabbeinu Manoach, in Perek Beis, Shvisus Asar Lachotes, writes that Muberes is Masava, she's the one who has the desire and not the child. Okay, in any event, it says in the Mishnah, Achilin Osach Atesh V'nasha, she has this undeniable urge, she has to eat something, you give her to eat until she calms down. The Rush over there writes that not necessarily a muberes, someone who's pregnant, but anyone who has this super duper urge to eat so much that the face changes, then you would, and it looks kind of dangerous, then you give them to eat. The Ram Mehilchus Shvisus Asar Perek Beis Lachates writes from the Gemara in Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that an Uber Sheiricha, woman who is pregnant and she has this smell and she starts to get this desire to eat, so you whisper into her ears that it's Yom Kippur today. And if that calmed her down with this reminder, fine. If not, then you give her until she comes to her senses and calms down. Now the Mishnah says, a chola, someone who's sick, the Israel says, even if their face didn't change from the type of eating, but it got very sick, machilin osapi bikiyin. You feed them based on what the experts say, and the Rav writes that the doctors who are experts in their field. And Rashi says, if there are two doctors who say that this person is in danger, if he doesn't eat, that's what we're talking about. Based on that, you would feed the person. Tresorel says, even if it was the Rofo was non-Jewish, if he says that when the person fasts, it could cause a very sakana. And he says, the Tresorel, but nowadays, we should really check into this well, because he's seen himself, Tresorel, that they don't have that trustworthiness that they previously had, these doctors. Because every time a person has any kind of sickness, even if it's light, they're going to say, oh yeah, it'll be a big sakana if they fast. So you really have to check into it to make sure that it is a fact. The Rush says, what does it mean? If the person won't eat, it will come to a sakana, and it will reach to a sakanas maves, the chas shalom person could die from not eating. The Mishnah Berurah, Siman Tav Reish Yud Zayin, I believe, Sfikat Beis, says that even if he didn't specifically say there's a danger, but he says it possibly could get even worse, the sickness could get worse, then you give him to eat. Because then we're afraid that maybe he will become in a sakana. So that doesn't have to say the sakana, but it's just the sickness that can get worse and worse. We take his word for it, and we would feed the person to eat. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvisus Asar Perek Beis Lachaches explains that the Bikiyim here, the experts, are the doctors who are experts, and the Ran and Daf Yarif Talmud Beis understands that the Mishnah uses Lashon Bikiyim. Why didn't he use the Lashon of Ro from doctors to tell you that if there are doctors who argue on this fact, we go after the one who is more of an expert and we follow them, the Bikiyim. V'im ein shem Bikiyim, the Mishnah says, if there are no experts, machin also pi atzmo at shiomer dai, then we go by what he tells us, the person who is sick until he's, I need to eat. We feed him until he says, okay, I had enough. The Rav says, that's the way the Mishnah has explained to the Gemara, that Bamed, Ramar, and when is it that we simach on the experts when the Chola says, I don't need to eat, or he keeps quiet. But if he says, I do need to eat, if there's no experts around, no experts to give you an answer, then you would feed him by his own saying he needs it. Even if though experts might come and say he doesn't need, but if he says he needs, then we would feed him. So the Yantiv adds that when the Chola says, I don't need to eat, we say it must be some kind of shtus that he got because of his sickness. He doesn't really know what he's saying. But if he does say, I do need to eat, the person knows how bad off he is. And since we say, Sefer Nefesh L'Hakel, Therefore, when he says we do eat, we trust him. So we trust the person to say he does eat. We don't necessarily trust him when he says he doesn't need to eat. Then we would listen to the experts. But if the expert says he doesn't need to eat and he says he does, we would listen to him. The Veris Rael says, when you give the Muberis, the pregnant woman or the person who's sick, you should first start with a small shear less than the size of a koseves and give him to drink less than a cheekful, and then wait a certain amount of time it would take to eat dalet four beitzim, and then go back and feed some more or eat some more. So with that shear, that's what we call today shiurim. A person can get by with just eating every 9 minutes or so, a little bit. That's much better than eating something that would be a shear more than that, which would come being over an iser. But if someone needs even more than that shiurim, then you can even give him one time all he needs. And it's the same thing with a woman who gives birth during this first 7 days. She could eat less than the shear when she does need to eat. But if it's within 3 days of giving birth, even if she doesn't say, I need to eat, she shouldn't fast at all, because but if it is feasible, she can eat less than the shear. And take a look in Taf Resh Yud Zayin, Taf Resh Yud Ches, in the Shulchan Aruch for more details. Now it's written in the Shas and Shuas Amudi Or in Simon Lamed Ice Test that everyone who is sick, where there is sakana, that and he has to eat something which is aser, he should minimize the enjoyment he gets out of that. That even though he is onus, he has to eat something, but he's not to the point where he's onus on the quality of the food. So he should eat something to, so he won't get sick and turn worse, but he doesn't have to, you know, eating a steak or McDonald's, a double whopper. He should eat something which is not so enjoyable. But the Or Sameach and Perek Yedalad Mehilchas Machalas Asuras Halacha Yedalad writes that the Yitzhak Achila on Yom Kippur is just depends on the amount of the quantity of the kosevis, of the large date. And it doesn't make a difference what type of food you eat. Even if he gets more enjoyment out of one than something fattier than others. And also, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Halicha Shlomo Yom Kippurim, Perek Vav, Dvar Halacha, Ice Yud Gimel, that a person could drink juice, something similar, maybe Coke Zero if he really wants to go wild, even if that he could get by with water. And it's even good to give someone something which will be full of nutrients and something that'll taste well, because then he'll enjoy it better and he'll get more benefit from what he's eating. And anyone who is eating with the shiurim only a limited amount at each few minutes, the Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Nishmas Avraham, Chelek Aleph, Samach Tav Reish Yud Beis, Os Tes, and Chelek Hey, Amud Reish Mem Zayin writes that you really need to know how much liquids or food is really needed for this person, Yom Kippur. Okay, that's what he should drink or eat for shiurim. Because a lot of times people, even though they're doing the shiurim every 9 minutes, having a little bit of food, a little bit of drink, they're going to end up still having a huge amount of quantity doing this. And if he does this the whole day long, you're going to have like 3 liters of liquids. So you might end up getting much more than you really need. So even if you're doing the shiurim, you should start out knowing how much the total is that you're going to need for the day. We're going to move on to in Parakhes Mishnah Vav, which in the Gemara is on Daf Pei Gimel with Aleph. And there it says, Mi Shachso Bulmus. Someone has the disease, gets hold of him, called the Bulmus. Rashi and Rav say, it's a disease that grabs someone because he's so hungry. His eyes start dimming and he starts turning, it's a sakana, he might die. And when he comes back and you can see in his face he's better, then you know that he had a refuah. Tiferes Yisrael says it's a Greek word that comes to, the disease comes from fasting, and only it shows that he really has this if his look totally changed because of the fasting. So it says, what about this person who has this boldness, this disease? Machilin also, a filet varm to maim. You can give him something to eat, even something, horse meat, whatever, something which is not kosher. The Tiferes Yisrael says that even a velus and trefus, and it's Yom Kippur, so he's going to have two Isurim. He's eating something in Velus, he's eating on Yom Kippur, he's going to have a double Isur. Still, it's okay. So he says, Yantif brings from the Kesef Mishnah, Perek Yudal, from Mihilchas Machalas Asuris, that even though we're talking about Yom Kippur, we're telling you that even something which is Tomei, something not kosher, is okay. You don't have to start searching around for something which is Mutter. If you have something treif in front of you, you can give it to him. Meiri learns that anyone who has any sickness, which is sakana, you can give them any machalas asuras, anything that which is not kosher, if he doesn't have any good kosher food available. And the Mishnah is telling you about bulmas, because that's different. That's somebody you have to feed immediately. And if the food is right away in front of you is not kosher, even though you could wait a drop and still bring him kosher food, still right away give him the non-kosher food, because it's necessary right away. But any other sickness, not the bulmus, that there's a time period where he could wait until you would fetch the food for him to eat, then wait until you get the kosher food available. And even if someone has the bulmus, if you can, at the same time, you have two types of food in front of you, treif and non-treif, you should give him the kosher food. And if it's no difference in the time that it would take to give it to him. And the other difference with the bulmus is, like was written in Arachayim Siman Taf Reish Yud Ches in Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Chafav, that you don't have to actually figure out exactly to give it less than a shear. By bulmus, you can give him right away without trying to limit it. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Achi Oreinov, until he had this bulmus, does his eyes light up? The Tiferes Yisrael says, and similarly, if someone smells food and he has a big taiva, until his face changes, you also give it to him until he gets better, as it says in Siman Taf Reish Yud Zayin. The Mishnah continues, Misha Nachshcho Kelev Shota, a rabid dog bites someone. The Rav says there was some kind of a ruach ra on this, took hold of this dog, and you could tell that he's rabid because he walks with his mouth open, his ears are drooping, he has saliva coming out of his open mouth, and his tail is hanging between his haunches, and he's walking on the side of the Rishis Harabim, and some say even he barks, but you don't hear anything. He opens his mouth to bark and no sound comes out. Tiferes Yisrael says in the Boaz that anyone who is bitten by this rabid dog or any other animal, which is, he calls it a mishugayim, they lost their senses, he is very sick. It's called a mesukan ma'od, and it's very hard to heal such a person. So the mission continues. This person got bitten by a rabid dog. Don't give him to eat from the liver lobe. Now the Rav says, even though the minig of the doctors then was to use this type of treatment, it's not really a good treatment in order to say that's mutter to give it to him, to eat a dog's liver, a tray for food. Tiferes Yisrael says, this type of refuah has never been tested well, and even though we normally say suffering nefesh lahakol, that's in something if you're going to treat someone naturally. But this is just a segula, it's a spiritual type of refuah, as it says in the Pirushnayis of the Rambam. And therefore, if we're not so sure that it works, we don't do such a thing. Actually, the Rambam's lashon, the Pirushnayis, was this never works only through this segula type of work, or some spiritual thing. And the Chacham hold that we don't are not over on the mitzvahs, only with a real physical type of treatment. It's something which is natural, and something truthful, and something that people use their minds to develop, and they tested it out, and it's very close to being 100% proof. But to give a refua with something which is just with the segula is asar, because it's very weak type of treatment, and it isn't logical, and it's very poorly tested, and it's not such a good idea. And the ikar is to ayu v'sachreyu. You should know something well and remember it. That is a big ikar, a main principle, he says. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Rav Masa ben Charash Matra, he said, argued with the Chamam. He says, no, you can give a person who was bitten by a dog to eat from the lobe of its liver. Rashi the Rav says, he holds it. It is a good refuah. It has been tested well enough, but we don't pass it like Reb Masya Bar Cheresh. Now, Rav Chanoch Albeck, in the name of Bal Siach Yitzchak, that's my street, Chanoch Albeck, he says that since the minig of the people is to do this, to have the treatment with the a dog's liver, Rav Masya holds that it is a refuah gemur. Why? Because someone who is bitten will get more strength when he's eating something, when he thinks it'll work for him. So a psychosomatic or psychologically that it'll work for him. And maybe that itself will give him refuah, even though the food item isn't causing it, his mind will cause it to work, even though it's not a real refuah, it's only a minig type of thing. Okay, Odomer of Masne Bar Cheresh, Hacheshish Begrono, someone who has throat illness, or the Rav says in his Giras, Hacheshish Peshinov, in his teeth, that it starts from the gums, they start to wear away, and then it goes down into your throat, maybe into your intestines. So at one point I heard this might be scurvy. Tiferes Yisrael says, and yes, it does end up rotting away your insides. And he brings from the Sus and Sameach that he taught people that whenever there is no doctor and someone has this illness, he found the best thing to do. He heard this from high-level doctors, that he should eat a lot of cabbage, also eat things that are vinegary and sharp, and he should drink a lot of vinegar and move around a lot, walking, and this is all tested and it works. And since it is something that the Chachamim say, he's not going to stop from telling people to do this. Okay, so this person has this illness, the scurvy is rotting out his insides. The Mishnah says, Matilin lo sam betoch piv b'Shabbos. You can pour in medicine into his mouth on Shabbos. Rav says, the type of medicine is an herb, the root of an herb for a food. Verserel says, it's from grasses that have been pressed, ground into like a dusty material, and not the leaf itself. He's saying, because it's obvious that it's a masa sakana, you could give someone something to eat. Because any refuah is only also because it's dinner rabbanan, because they're afraid you're going to grind ingredients together on Shabbos. And why didn't the Mishnah just tell you? You could give him this on Yom Kippur. That's what we've been talking about, Yom Kippur. Why all of a sudden are we talking about Shabbos? But it's telling you that even if you need to do, other people have to be machal Shabbos by doing this. They have to rip out the herbs, or they have to start cooking them. Still, we do this to get the sam, to get the medicine that he's going to need anyway we do it. And therefore he's telling us that on Shabbos it's a bigger chiddush, even though the Shabbos is a din of skila, which is more chamer than Yom Kippur, still we do. And the Rif isn't gerus his lashon b'soch piv, pour into his mouth. You just give him this medicine on Shabbos. Okay, finishing up the Mishnah. Neishu safik nefashas, chol safik nefashas, dachas haShabbos. It's a safik, he might die, and that's dachas Shabbos. The Rav says, what's his kol? It says, kol safik nefashas, dachas haShabbos, to tell you that it's pashit than on Shabbos. It's telling you, if we know that on this Shabbos he won't die, but as a suffix, maybe if you don't do treatment today, then maybe he'll die for the next Shabbos. So still, we take care of him. Let's say they said he needs to have this medicine for 8 days, and the first day is this Shabbos. You might say, well, let's wait until the nighttime so he won't eat something twice on Shabbos, being over an Easter twice on Shabbos. Mashallah, now we do the treatment right away. Tver Israel says, even if there are many sphakas, still, or any type of sickness of the teeth, if by having that sickness it'll affect his whole body, you can tell a guy on Shabbos to pull out the infected tooth, and even though he's opening his mouth, he's turning his head, he's kind of assisting the dentist, it's not considered, and it would be considered something which is mamish in his assistance. Still, since his whole body is now getting sick based on this sickness, it's mutter, as it says in Siman Shin Kaf Ches Sech Gimel. Tosfos Yontif writes that the pasuk is in Vayikra Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Hey. It says Asher Asa Adam V'Chay Bahem Yaseh Adam V'Chay Bahem V'Lo Shiyamas Bahem. A person should do something to cause him to live and not to die. And Rashi explains there that he should be doing things. The mitzvah is that he should definitely live. And if he it shouldn't come, that'll lead to a suffix misa. So you machal even on a suffix. He has to do something to make sure 100% to live, not that he'll be left with a suffix. Maybe he'll live, maybe he won't. And that's the way the Gemara ends off. And daf peheim a base. That's the end of our shiur today. Any comments, questions, complaints, you could reach me at Sheldon_Rothman@yahoo.com or call me at 052-244-9331. Have a good day.